Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Linning School Watch et al. Diane Linning's show has guest and call-in opportunities for parents, educators, and interested parties to get your questions answered for those who want to know how our kids can get a quality education. Diane has been an educator for over 30 years. Diane worked a job and paid her own way through college. As a former state leader elected among 330,000 of California's peers in education, Diane was elected as a state delegate to the National Education Association Convention for many years. Now retired, Diane Linning is in law school pursuing a JD. We'll be with you in a moment. Be sure to get your coffee, your tea, sit back and enjoy. For call-in number tonight, use 818-394-8537. Again, that number is 818-394-8537. If you'd like to email a question, please do that at diane@linning.com. We'll be with you in a moment. Get your coffee ready, paper and pencil. We have a great guest with us tonight, Lydia Grant, who was a student in Los Angeles Unified School District. Wow, we are learning a lot about LAUSD. Be back with you in a moment.
Thank y'all very much for listening to us. It's been a pleasure to play for you. Thank you so much. On the guitar and some of the vocals, Mr. Gintrow on the guitar and the vocals. On the bass and some of the vocals, Mr. Keith Mosley. On the drums, the apartment QC58, Mr. Jeff Stein.
Moment for the call-in number tonight is 818-394-8537. For email questions or comments, email diane@linning.com. That's D-I-A-N-E at L-E-N-N-I-N-G.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Our guest will be Lydia Grant tonight from LAUSD in California. Welcome to Linning School Watch et al. This is your host, Diane Linning, former educator of over 30 years in public schools in California, currently working on my JD degree to help support what I believe will help fix the problems in education today. The bad news is, in California this week, we now rank last in the nation. We've gone from first When I attended California public schools in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, to the worst, the last, now to 50. And is it any wonder that we have a high dropout rate? We have probably, now I don't know any stats for this, but I would give a little bit of conjecture here, that California very likely has the highest dropout rate in the nation. And I know L.A. County has the highest dropout rate in the state of California. In some schools, 60 to 70 to 80% dropout rate. And, you know, I have my opinions as to why that is from personal observations over the years. Even though I taught most of my career in Orange County, I also taught a number of years in L.A. County and in the Youth Authority where young men ages 14 to 25 were incarcerated for gang activity and crime-related egregious acts. And fortunately, that has improved since the drive-by shooting days when I worked with the Bloods and the Crips and other gang members of L.A. and Orange County. But there is a dropout reason for a number of reasons. There is a dropout rate that is high because young people are not getting what they need, at least in some portion, are not getting what they need in education or don't have the support of family or community, many various reasons. But tonight, we have a guest who attended L.A. Unified School District as well as her husband. She is 46 years old. She's been married for 27 years and has three children. Her children are 26, 21, and 19 years old, and all three of her children graduated from Los Angeles Unified School District. She and her husband's two oldest spent several years being homeschooled. Her youngest attends Cal State University at Northridge. Both she and her husband were products of LAUSD, but unfortunately, neither finished high school. But the good news is she went back and passed the graduate equivalent degree, accomplished that goal, and then took a job training program and became a neurology nurse for an HMO. She's been home the last 10 years, dedicating herself to getting her kids through school and helping other children receive the best education possible. Have you ever wondered what motivates people to help others? And why people want other kids to get a good education? Sometimes it's the sad experiences we or our family members go through. Lydia's brother is a heroin addict who got hooked on drugs at the age of 13 and received no education. And she wants kids to have a better opportunity than they had. That's a pretty strong motivation, people. She does state she never had any drugs, smoked, or drank alcohol. Now, just in case you're wondering what my motivation is for doing this show and for trying to help kids and teaching minorities and empowering them to be successful in life for most of my career, it's because I had the great privilege of getting an excellent top-notch education in California public schools when I attended schools many years ago, and we were ranked first in the nation. LA Unified was a top-notch district at that time, too. So for some reason, it has plummeted to the bottom. And of course, I have my ideas about that, too, from firsthand observation. But it's really good tonight to have Lydia Grant with us in a moment, who has some firsthand experiences from a district, LAUSD, that could really use the benefit of some help, some resources from others around them who would like to help and make it a better education for kids there. Now, so far, it has been my observation that in some instances, yes, and in some instances, no, people there are receptive to help. But most of the time, I'm finding, unfortunately, they seem to want to stick with the help among those within their own district, and that hasn't proven successful so far. But tonight, we're going to meet someone firsthand who is going to give us some observations, some experiences, some programs that she's working in to try to help kids locally in her area. Lydia Grant is on Facebook, and I'll give her opportunity to give any contact information she wants a little later as we go. I'm hoping she'll start with her goals of school safety. She is currently in a position as a parent representative in a neighborhood council. So she is working on the front lines to try to help her kids and your kids. So let's see if I can get connected here with my caller. Hello, Lydia. Do you hear me? Hello, Lydia. I'm still trying to connect. Let me see if I can try again here. Lydia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There you are. I pushed two or three buttons, but sometimes it's slow to react here. I thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm really excited because there's really nothing like hearing from people in the trenches who are working the hard work at the front lines while many other people are doing other things. Tell us a little bit about yourself and some of your goals for what you hope to do in LA Unified School District.
Well, I'd love to do that, and thank you for having me on the show. Basically, I'm a parent who's fought the system to try to get my kids the best education and at least get them their high school diplomas. And it's important to me that all the kids have that same opportunity. One of the issues that we faced in our community was we have a school that I consider very unsafe. And as a community representative, and I have been supporting parents in our community for at least 10 years, and I do help parents all across the city of Los Angeles. Basically, what happened at our school was we had a lot of fights and problems. We've tried to get them addressed. The LAUSD has like a block wall around it. I call it the Berlin Wall of Education. And I'm working with other parents to put together a system where that wall can basically come crumbling down. Parents have been trying to fight their children's battles for many years, and you'll hear people say, well, why didn't the parents stand up for their kid? And when the parents do step forward and try to fight and use the policies and laws that are at their disposal, it is like hitting a block wall. There's never any help for those problems. They're always brushed off. You're the only person that's happening to. These are the kind of things that parents hear. So I got into a position where I was able to help parents navigate the system on some issues. And so it's kind of built and the reputation's built, and I try to encourage parents to help other parents who have those issues. So we're in the process actually right now of putting together an organization. It will eventually be a 501c3, but the reason we haven't moved forward and put all the pieces together is because we want it created by the parents. And the goal is actually to build a parent army of parents uniting together to stand up and demand the changes, whether it's through voting, whether it's through legislation, whether it's by pulling their kids out for a day, whatever the parents decide the action should be. But our goal is to actually become a clearinghouse of information for parents to be able to find those policies and to be able to call and get advice to have help with their issues on a larger scale than we've been able to do so far.
What are you going to call your group? Have you decided that yet?
Yes, we have. We're calling it Fed Up, Fixing Education by Uniting Parents.
Well, that sounds appropriate, it sounds to me. So give us some issues, maybe 3 to 5 issues, of accountability that the district does not uphold.
Well, first of all, I would have to go with safe campuses. We have a truancy problem here in the city of Los Angeles. I've been working very hard on the truancy ticketing issue. Tony Cardenas, the city council member, has a motion before the board of the city council on this issue. And basically what's been happening is students are being ticketed when they're not in school. And that system is being abused. And in our community and a lot of other communities across the city, they have been giving children $250 tickets for being 5 or 10 minutes late to school. And it's created a situation where the kids don't want to go to school and they can't risk being late because their families can't afford those tickets, so they stay home instead. Also, a lot of kids feel very unsafe on campus. There's a lot of bullying and a lot of fighting, and so they would rather stay home than risk going there. That's the kind of on-the-ground complaints that I hear from parents. My kid is throwing up. My kid is jumping out of the car on the way to school. My kid would risk an injury flying out of a moving car than go to school. When you take those issues to the district, they laugh, they blow you off, and they say, well, that's the parents' fault. And it's not. Their children are in fear, and they're not doing anything about it. I think, for me, that's the biggest issue, because student safety is actually where I got involved in the beginning, and it really is my underlying mantra that children have a right to a safe education.
Well, you have said, in a nutshell, what I tried to say in my whole campaign, that safe campuses are the most important issue in the state of California for education, because when kids don't feel safe, they don't go to school. And as you know, I worked on an at-risk campus as well in Orange County with many gang members. But we were very strong in safety, and we have successes. But would LAUSD ever come ask us or look at what we do to achieve success? No. We've offered help. Do they come ask for help? No. That's that Berlin Wall you're talking about that I have experienced, you have experienced. The teachers who want to help have experienced. Teachers who work there have experienced. Teachers who've been pushed out by kids who have sprayed them with chemicals from the emergency tools in the classroom. It's a failure. The district is a failure. But I have one obvious question that I think I know the answer to, but I want you to answer it.
Sure.
We know that the kids can't pay these tickets. And
that's
other
right.
than some kind of consequence or whatever they do they have truancy officers anymore to go pick up kids and bring them to school?
Well, they're using LAPD and the LA School Police Department to do that. The ticketing issue is actually evolving right now, and I'll give you a couple reasons of why. I've done several radio shows. I actually had spoken with Ruslan Ali, who is a civil rights person in the Department of Education. And basically what's been happening with these tickets that the district has been giving the kids is it's basically been discovered that the truancy rate is growing, not decreasing. These fines that the kids have are growing. I have a friend, a boy who told me the other day that he graduated high school with several thousand dollars worth of debt, that his parents gave that to him as a graduation gift. They paid off his truancy tickets because they don't give the kids their driver's licenses. I have also been in a court situation where I have watched officers testify in court that children are habitual truants. When I've later pulled the truancy tickets, have found that 5 out of the 6 tickets were for being less than 10 minutes late to school. I believe that's a violation of state education code because it clearly states that truancy doesn't happen until a student's at least 30 minutes late.
Well, I think that proves very succinctly that their plan does not work. And we found a plan that works. And I'm just going to say it in case they're listening.
Good.
Our plan was always to do some kind of consequence that assured they were in school during the consequence, because we found that over time that if kids were expelled or suspended, all they did was sit at home on their computers and play games. So what we developed was an in-house suspension in which those kids who were having some consequence for whatever, and truancy could be one of them, or tardies, we had other ones too, but in this in-house suspension, they were required to get work from their classroom teacher and do the work assigned that day. And if they got there without their work, someone came, a runner came to the classroom to me many times because I worked with at-risk kids and gave them the work to take to the kid to do in the classroom. And I was glad to do it because the kid got his work done. He didn't get away with doing what he wasn't supposed to do, and he was held accountable. And when our kids were tardy at the end of lunch, they were carried around to pick up trash from lunch with the administrative staff. Now, what better thing to do for the kids to pick up their own trash, because they began to get lazy and just think the poor guy that we hired with that nail on a stick had to go around and pick it all up with a nail on a stick. That's ridiculous. These kids are young and should be picking up their own trash. They should be dealing with their own consequences on campus. All this policy does that you just shared with me is come make complete failure of the whole situation and keeps more and more kids out of school and enhances and increases their dropout rate and their failure. Now, I have a lot more information than what you've given me, and I'm saying this with a little bit at risk, but it's the truth. LAUSD is a failure. It's a complete failure, and they need to open up their hearts and their minds and quit thinking that they know it all and start listening to other people who have success. Our kids' future is at stake here, not their egos. They need to put their big, huge egos aside and take off their brass buttons and start listening to people who have success and who are graduating and educating these kids. I'm sorry I ranted and raved, but I care about our kids. And let's hear some more from you. I know you have a response to all of that.
Yeah, actually I do. We did, as a short pilot program through LAUSD, have that program at our high school, and then they turned around and canceled it. But what I liked about the program was they actually did it on Saturdays. So the kids didn't miss their normal class time. They still had to do that, but they had to give up their time to do the Saturday suspension. And I thought that was a better punishment. I also would like to see, because the truancy ticket issue that Tony Cardenas has on the table, he's asking for, instead of monetary fines, having community service. Since we do have the neighborhood councils in place across the entire city of Los Angeles, I would like to see a system worked out where kids can do their community service as part of either the neighborhood council, or the district should set up some type of program for the kids that are truant. You know, part of the problem that's created, the reason this problem isn't created, is the state of California has legislation on the books that when a kid is truant so many times, they're supposed to receive the automated letters. And part of, are you still there?
Yes, I am. I'm listening.
And part of the automated letter system is that after so many truancies, a letter is sent home. And after so many letters are sent home, then social services gets involved with the family to find out why is the kid missing school. But the LAUSD had chosen for many, many years not to send those automated letters home, which has not only meant that the parents, and it's not about holding the parents accountable, but they weren't getting any extra help from social services to deal with the problems. And now those kids are just being outright punished with no social service addition in there to help. The district has just decided a year ago, I have the documents where they're going to now start initiating the first letter. But this is an ongoing state law that they have completely ignored. And now, you know, Kamala Harris is talking about jail time for parents whose kids go to school, $2,500 fines. It's like her kids don't go to the city of Los Angeles schools because she would never punish people who are too scared. I mean, it's like our schools, in my opinion, have become a training ground for prison. That's all they are. When they decide in third grade that a kid that's failing is going to end up in prison, and that's how they count prison beds for the future, they have given up on our children already, and that is not good enough for me.
Well, I can tell you that there are enough areas and enough room for multiple consequences. We also had study hall or Saturday school for students because we had a graduated set plan of consequences for certain grievances or infractions that students did. And a more serious infraction might include or erupt into Saturday school if they didn't attend the in-house or whatever. Plus, we instituted after-school tutoring, which helped those kids who were getting a D or lower in math and English. And our kids' grades school-wide went up. And I heard through all this process that LA Unified was refusing to even apply for the money to do after-school tutoring. Again, I'm saying LAUSD is failing.
I have to agree with you. I mean, to me, the biggest issue with LAUSD is there's absolutely no transparency to the things that they do, and there is no accountability. I went to a district meeting 2 weeks ago with the school board. It was a school board meeting. And instead of holding the school board meeting in the boardroom with the cameras and the microphones the way they always do, this is the first meeting I've ever attended that we were taken over to a little anteroom, which is where the overflow is for meetings. And they held the board meeting in there with the school board sitting with their backs to the parents and teachers who had come to this board meeting. They sat with their backs to them. I had never been so offended in my life.
Well, I think that very visually gives us a pictorial vision here of some of the immediate pressing problems that LAUSD has, and they're fixable. I worked with these kids who you said failed from third grade on. I worked with those LAUSD kids in the prison for 8 years on the Saturdays counseling them, and then for a whole year as a teacher, 40 hours a week inside in classroom with them, with up to 17 in a classroom, sitting and standing neck to neck with these gang members who were all very appreciative of my efforts to educate them. They all wanted an education, every single one of them. But they all told me they felt they lived on a dead-end street. And you know what that tells me? That something's wrong in their community or their family or their school district or their church home or something, or maybe all of them. Something's not working that they would feel like they live on a dead-end street. And it's just so obvious. It's just glaring in the face. Okay, so now I would suggest, as parents, when you go to those meetings, that you politely raise up your hand, if you can get opportunity, if they'll let you speak, and suggest that, you know, we would really like to talk to you face-to-face. Would you mind turning around so we could communicate with each other? What do you think?
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because it wasn't just that they didn't want to communicate with the parents. They also did not bring the microphones in with them, nor did they allow TV cameras.
Well, see, that's dysfunction to its highest level.
That's
it's not even replicative, how do you say that word, or indicative.
You know, and I have to say this, because this is not just LAUSD. I mean, if you read the LA Weekly article that I did a couple weeks ago, Secretary of State Arne Duncan's office had called me and asked me to help them get a bunch of parents together for that meeting he had in
right.
Right.
El Monte area.
Right. Pico Rivera is where it actually was. And his helicopter was on the ground about 20 minutes. And the way they had presented it was that he was going to be there for 2 hours to listen. And because all the LAUSD parents can't get help from their own district, this was their hope, their dream, that finally somebody who had power to do something might listen. I myself had over 200 parents show up that I had invited, and I had parents who drove up from San Diego for the opportunity. And then he walked out after 12 minutes and had a microphone that nobody could understand anything he said. So I went to LA Weekly, they wrote an article, and I did receive an apology back from the Department of Education, because I am open and I am transparent, and I hold myself to a very high standard. And what I don't understand is these people who are supposed to be leading us have such low morals, lack of respect. It sickens me. It just sickens me. People are fighting for their children's lives, and they are basically being completely ignored.
Now, did you get an idea or a reason why he left so early and didn't stay to listen?
We do know why he left. He left to go to a fundraiser.
In LA County somewhere?
Yes.
For our president?
I'd rather not answer that.
Okay, well, who else would it be fundraising for? He's appointed. Well, that's interesting. Well, that tells us a lot. You know, you set a side issue that is near and dear to my heart that I'd like to also discuss.
Sure, which
California, one? California is number one in the nation with the problem of bullying. Mm. And I have my personal opinions because I've observed it for 30 years, but I'd like to hear what you say.
Well, actually, this is an issue that's very near and dear to my heart, too. We have a problem in our community that we've been trying to address with our school police department. By using the ticketing method, they've been able to pull over our kids and search them. And our complaints are that from the kids is that the officers are very rough. I can't use these words that are cuss words on the radio, of course, but our kids are being told they're losers, they're never going to amount to anything. It is a whole attitude of the way that they're treated on campus, off campus. You know, you verbally attack people and verbally abuse them long enough, they believe those things. And the teachers, and I'm not saying all teachers because I love teachers and I think teachers are wonderful, but we have many teachers who tell these same kids, you know what, I don't care whether you learn or not. I get my paycheck whether you learn anything. I don't care if you sit there and do nothing. This mentality, this, you know, when I was a kid, I would go to school and it didn't matter what my attitude was for the day. I had to check it at the gates of the school. I was expected to treat my elders with respect. I had to treat the principal as if they were the king, and the teachers were totally respected. There's such a lackadaisical attitude, and the teachers, in my opinion, a lot of them don't demand the respect for themselves and don't give it back to the kids. So we have a whole underlying problem with the bullying that to get the kids to do anything now, they're having to bully the kids. So the bullying is actually starting at the top, and it's working its way down.
That's what I've observed. That's interesting that you would say that. Now, I worked with many of these students in the California Youth Authority, and I didn't have that kind of dialogue with them. What I said was, I care about you, and I want you to turn out good. And I want you to learn how to read, because I think reading and knowing things about life is going to be your ticket to a good life. I'm here to help educate you. I've gone to years and years of college to help educate you, not babysit. So let's work together. Let's get you reading. Let's get you interested. And it worked.
See, that brings me to two points that I'd like to talk about that are really important. And you it's like we're piggybacking off of each other. One of those is student engagement.
Mm-hmm.
When they're being bullied, when they don't feel comfortable, there's no more school spirit in the schools that I've been associated with. It's like a free-for-all all the time. The district seems to have a no-discipline policy because nobody gets punished for it. There's no accountability. There's nothing that engages our children to be interested in anything else. When they took out the shop classes, when they took out wood shop, when they took out home ec, when they took out all those things, those life skills types of classes, the kids who did, when we went to school, who were connected, and they may not have been the best students, but you know what? Those things engaged them. Those are the things, you know, they made their first wooden box. And that's what kept them learning. I'm self-educated. I love to read. So for me, I made it through, even though I did not actually graduate high school. I'm very educated because it's important to me and I can read well. But not everybody has that opportunity. And I think that that's the most important thing that LAUSD could do is to stop the bullying attitude starting at the top and bring things back into education to engage our children. All they talk about is cutting art and music and there's no more electives. All they're going to do is have a bigger growing dropout problem because there's no reason for kids to go to school anymore.
Well, we call that reframing their thinking. So if educators in LAUSD could reframe your thinking and think of these kids as your life challenge to make sure they get educated and help engage them, believe me, it's possible. I have firsthand experience. We liked each other. These gang members all had a heart and a soul and a parent who loved them. Maybe not two parents, maybe a grandmother and aunt sometimes, but they had somebody who cared about them at some point in their life. Many had gone to church. Many had gone to school. But, you know, I found that there were some also being misdiagnosed as special ed, when in reality I said to one young man one time, I said, you know, you're missing skills from second grade. You're not really special ed. He said, that was the year we slept in the car. So we have problems with parents being able to make up the difference that the schools are not giving them. It's all they can do sometimes to get them to school. Now, you hinted on that, and I keep hearing this parent bashing where some people will just blame it on the parents. Every time the school isn't working, well, it's the parents' fault. Well, you know, like I always say, I've got you kids here for today, and my rules for my classroom are what I want you to follow. When you're at home, you follow your parents' rules. But if you do that at home, that's your parents' decision. But you're not doing that in my classroom, you know, kind of thing. So I'm trying to give reframing thinking here for people. Let's quit blaming each other and pointing the finger at each other, let's start working together and saying how we can help each other improve these situations. And I believe really high-quality professional development that works with these specific issues can help educators. And one of those is one that Genevieve Peters has. And I'll try to look that up or think that up while you're talking. I'm trying to remember the name of it. But go ahead and take
well,
a couple comments.
Well, it's actually
comments,
so funny. I almost feel like we're playing telepathy here on the radio, because that is my biggest point. There are great teachers, and there are great parents, and there are great administrators. But the blame game has to stop. Every single part of the picture is responsible for a piece of the problem. And if everybody blames everybody else, then nobody's working together to fix it. And so I'm really big on that, that my Fixing Education by Uniting Parents is about anybody who does parenting. We have to all work together. And it's about the community, too, because you, as you had pointed out, some of these kids don't have immediate family they can go to. Their parents are working multiple jobs, or they are homeless. But the communities can step up and help provide. You know, we have a lot of elderly people who have nobody to visit them. There's no reason the communities could not work out problems, even especially through the neighborhood council system, where we have an adopt-a-grandparent program or something, that these kids can get tutoring and guidance through other people in the community if they can't get it at home. It's opportunity. You know, I came from a very, a background that I would not really wish on any child, but you know, I persevered, and it just made me stronger. What we need is these kids to understand that they can persevere, and they also can be stronger, that they can learn from their experiences and use them not only to fix their lives, but to help and guide others and bring each other up. Special ed, as you mentioned, is a horrible issue. In my opinion, I get more special ed complaints than anything else. You know, I have people who they're putting in their kids in special ed who are trying to refuse, and I have parents who are begging for an IEP they can't get. I mean, it's just so across the board. It's got to stop. There needs to be accountability. And the only way to really do that is to cause some type of a cataclysmic shift by building an army of people who are fed up with the way that things are running. Because asking and begging and crying and fighting back has not helped anybody. With the board meeting I was just at where they put their backs to the parents, I got up in front of them. I told them I was disgusted with them, that for over 10 years I've been attending these meetings, longer than they had all been sitting there. But I listened to parent after parent come to them and pour their heart out about their child and their school and their community wanting help. And it's like, okay, next speaker. I told them I was devastated by that. I was sick of it, and that I would do something to stop it. I will be starting town halls across the city to start bringing together parents and community members and start creating that paradigm shift.
Do you have some contact information you can give people who might want to join with you in this army of solutions?
Sure. The best way to reach me is through my email, which is spelled out 5, F-I-V-E, Grants, G-R-A-N-T-S, at msn.com. The website and blog are not completely up yet, but they are being worked on. And I'm hoping in the future that you'll be one of those people to help advise parents, because this is going to be a one-stop shop parents can go for help. And then also, I do have a Facebook page. I'm on Facebook, Lydia Grant. People are welcome to befriend me. And I also do have a second Facebook page that we're just also up and running. I kind of just snagged the name, but we haven't really written on it yet. And it is Fed Up. It's just F-E-D-U-P. And, of course, that stands for Fixing Education by Uniting Parents. But the reality is we're just getting it going. I want to really get the town halls going so I can hear from parents what they'd like to see it have, what are their needs, so that I don't create something that's not usable by all the parents. I really want them to be a part of the process of building this together.
Okay, now why don't you give that website anyway, just in case, so this will be on the record.
You know what, I don't have it at the moment.
Don't have it there? Oh, okay.
They can find it by, it's under Uniting Parents. I think it's Uniting Parents, uniting.wordpress.com is what I think it is. But if they look up Uniting Parents, they might find it.
WordPress.com, because this will be archived. And it
right now, it's not ready. We've actually just started working on it. We want to create the buttons that parents can go to. See, for me, if you came to me tomorrow and said, look, my kid's being bullied at school. I don't know what to do. I've got to meet with the principal. I guide parents, and something that's really important, parents should never, never do phone calls to their schools unless they have to. I always recommend parents use the internet, because then you have written documentation of what you have stated, so that can't be changed later. And also, you have the statements back of what was actually said by them. Because too many parents say, this is what I said, and then they're saying, oh, that's not what happened. By having that electronic conversation, that is a great, I recommend to parents, literally, when you start your kid's school year off, every memo you get home for each child, put in a folder. Every contact you have with the school, do my email and also place it in that folder. So if a problem evolves in the future, you don't have to go back and try to figure out, well, the first call was this date, because it's all in order already.
That's very good advice. And I would suggest, too, when you finally get your website up, and even in your town halls, that you as a group of active parents decide on response for all of them to do similar response to the issues of safety and bullying. If you have the same response and the same request for how the schools deal with it, you will have a record of how you have asked the district to deal with this over time in a consistent manner, and you will have record of how they've responded and if they have ignored you or if they have met the needs of students.
Well, one of the other things we want to do, some of the other things we're working on doing, and like I said, parent involvement is really important to me, is we're going to be setting up a system that we can actually review the board minutes. We'll put the board minutes up, and then people can actually do a poll of how they would want the board members to vote, and then we can send it into the board members and let them know before they make their decisions. We can do polling. The other thing is we're going to set up a complaint system, and the reason that's really important is because if a parent calls in with a complaint or writes in with a complaint, we can actually keep a log of which schools are getting the complaints and what is that complaint. So like you were saying, if we all have the same response, but it's going to be even better if we can go and say, well, there's been 43 issues of bullying at this particular campus in the last 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
very important.
We will be able to control that information and have a better idea.
There's
nothing
like
that facts,
substantiated facts. Yes, that's where the power will come in from the parents.
Absolutely.
Because they
so
will
can,
have black
and
white proof.
We have a great strategy. We really want parent involvement. Also, what I'd love to do is take these parents who've already fought these battles, whose kids are not in school anymore, and the reason I say this is because that's how you stop the retaliation. When you have parents who try to help each other and there's a retaliatory principal or administrator or school police officer, then they go after that parent too or back against the children. But when you have a situation who people don't have kids in the school anymore but know the school, those are the best mentors for those parents because they can go with them to a meeting. They can be an observer.
And they can give answers, and then they're the
absolutely.
Ones
and
that...
And I go with parents all the time. The problem is we have so many parents across the city of Los Angeles, I can't go with everybody. I wish I could, but I can't. But if we could grow that army, part of that army of people who are willing to go and donate their time to go be a representative with that parent. Again, I'm sorry they introduced themselves. I'm with Fed Up. We're here to protect this parent and understand that this parent gets exactly what they are entitled to. If they walk in there and they have the state policy, the district policy, they have all those things laid out in a very professional manner, it's almost going to be as if they have a mini lawyer with them.
I would call them a parent advocate. You know, I have a credential in special ed, and every parent has a right to take a parent advocate with them to meetings to help them.
Do they
them
not
know,
have to be credentialed with that title, though?
No.
Okay.
Not yeah. for special ed.
What I do is I consider myself a parent activist. That's how I introduce myself.
But you can have a parent advocate who,
okay.
who is not the person, the parent, can pick whoever they want to go with them.
Okay, that's great, because I do have some great, incredible special ed parents who have fought the battle to advise other parents. We've already basically been doing this on a very small level. And so now we want, you know, the problem is growing at an exponential rate. So we have to do something to act fast to be able to help and support parents across the city, because education is going to be going through a major meltdown soon with the issues with charter schools and the issues with, you know, shutting down classrooms and putting kids at computers with no teachers and having them just be taught through the computer. These things are scary, but we need to have something in place when it all happens so that parents can get answers, so parents can work together to solve problems.
Now, all special ed parents, or parents of students who are special ed, are by law required to get a copy of their rights. So they're supposed to get these either from the district, and they're supposed to have IEP meetings, but if they don't have an IEP meeting, get a copy of the rights from the district, and then when this parent advocate goes in with them, you have the copy of these rights. When they try to refuse this advocate, you say, look, it says right here, I can have a parent advocate. I'm invoking my rights.
Yeah,
and
see,
if
this
they don't
is
have
exactly
an IEP,
what we want.
Yeah,
we
and
want
if they don't have an IEP, they need to go to the district and talk to the administrators. Why am I not having an IEP? They have district personnel who can have IEPs when the teacher's workload is too heavy. They are required by law to have an IEP on every student every year.
See, I have literally been with parents in the offices where their parents have broken down in tears, huddled on the floor, begging the school for IEPs after it had been submitted in writing, after it had been ignored. The system is, just like you said, it is a complete failure, and it's about time parents' rights were recognized. I have to add one thing. I didn't know if you knew this, but the district had actually suspended the Parent Advisory Committee. They had basically told the parents that they weren't going to have them anymore. It wasn't going to happen. All the parents who had been volunteering through the entire process just were not going to be allowed to be a part of it anymore. Meetings like Title I, the SEAC meetings and those meetings are very controlled on campuses. People think, well, that's what your meeting is. That's your chance for parent involvement. But that's not true parent involvement. In the situations I've been in and the meetings I've gone to, they've been very highly controlled by the administration. I know I was a Title I president at one school. I saw that money was being mismanaged. I asked if it could be put on the agenda, and I was the president. I was told no. You can't.
Do they still have school site council meetings?
I can't answer that because I have myself not been on campus, and I have not been involved in those meetings. I basically help the community. There's other things that I do too, so it really takes up all my time, and so I have not been following as much of the on-campus meetings. So I'm really not as knowledgeable on that. The last time I got involved, or the last time I actually asked somebody, I was so disgusted, I really didn't want to hear anymore. One of our local schools, they had ESL, and there was nobody Spanish-speaking on the committee. And they asked somebody who was a white male community member if he would be on the ESL committee because they didn't have any Spanish-speaking parents who were interested. And he doesn't speak a word of Spanish. Of course, he did it to help the kids, but that's not the way it's supposed to be run. And unfortunately, as we know, there's no accountability for anything that the district does.
Well, you may be aware of this, but each school is supposed to have a site council and have one parent from the community on that council, and they decide how to spend extra SIP funds or extra funds the school may have, or they can do fundraisers or whatever, and they're supposed to help give ideas and support or get information from the school to help give back to the community, and it's supposed to have a parent on it. So your advocates, your parent advocates and part of your army could, as an assignment, each one try to get on a school site council throughout LAUSD.
And that's wonderful, and that's the kind of strategies. That's what we want the parents to put together. We want the parents to decide what parts they want in this. And there's parents that is exactly their fit. See, that's the thing about volunteering, too, is when you go to the school and it's like, okay, hold a bake sale. You know what? That's not real. People need to do something that's important to them, and that's one thing through the neighborhood council that we've learned, and that is that if you find the right fit for that volunteer, they will love volunteering and doing what they do. And
well,
so
a lot of schools need people who can sit and read to students.
Exactly, but we need the volunteer bases. So it's going to be very important. I've actually, it's another thing that I'm working on is working with the neighborhood council system. We're going to be doing some symposiums and stuff, and basically creating an education position on every neighborhood council, so that there will be somebody working that can help represent the parents and kids and do things like, I'll give you a couple things I've done as that parent or education representative. We've had awards for teachers. We did something to promote our schools, where every school put what programs they had, and we had a big space night event. We showed off some of the smart board technology our middle school had. We had an excellent teacher at our middle school, Mr. Gary Ireland, who used the smart board to do a NASA presentation, and kids went outside the building and waved, and other kids in the building got to see those people wave, and it was so fascinating to the community, and that's the type of engagement that makes kids interested in learning. And so I try to help promote those teachers, so there's been awards given. We sometimes do student awards. We also do backpacks for those homeless students. We get the community to donate school supplies, and then when we have issues in our community where kids are homeless or they lose their home because of a fire, we have a backpack supply that we can call up and make sure the kids get backpacks. I can tell you, when we had the station fire or the Cagle Canyon fire, we showed up that night to a family and handed them backpacks, and they literally broke into tears because people had thought about clothes and other things, but they don't think about school supplies. So the kid shows up the next day, and that's when they realize things aren't the same. So it was, there's just a lot of things like that the communities can do. So I'm really going to be pushing for the neighborhood council to have an education person in every community, so that there will be a liaison to the district in every community across the city.
Those smart boards are wonderful. We started getting those about 10 years ago, and
oh,
now
awesome.
The school where our 13-year-old goes has them in every classroom, and we saw it on back to school night, how the teacher was using it, and they are just awesome for the kids and the teacher as well. So I would, if anyone's listening in LAUSD, I would suggest you get those smart boards. You know, believe it or not, LAUSD, you often get more money than all the rest of us. So if you started using it wisely and started having a disciplined education plan on each campus that you all supported and followed through, your schools would improve and your students would do better in education and getting a quality education. So, well, we've done some really good discussion tonight, and we've talked about this, but I'd like you to state it again and maybe and reinforce what you've said about why do so many kids drop out of school in LAUSD? And then follow it with what you think can be done. You're going to have to, like, highlight some major points.
I think that kids are dropping out because the campuses aren't safe. I think that kids are scared. There's a lot of bullying issues. There's nothing engaging the children. The truancies, when kids don't feel safe, they're more truant. When they're being attacked by the school police and LAPD with the truancy tickets, and I don't mean attacked, but it feels like an attack to a kid to be part of the criminal court system, because not only do they get the ticket, they also have to take a school day off to go to court.
Oh,
and the parent has to take a day off too. First offense is $250, second is $450, and third was $950, plus at least one day of court for each one of those tickets. I mean, why would people want to go to school? It's very punitive. We need to change the atmosphere. We need to bring back the respect and value of our children, and we need as adults to expect that respect in return so that we can change the mentality and get people right on a positive track where they feel like they're not worthless anymore and that they have a possible future. We need to encourage, we need to train, and we need to educate them in a way that they can have the best education and the best future possible, because that's what our kids deserve.
That's one of the things I said in my campaign was we need to reform the education environment. We really do. And you know that any time a kid has to miss school for a consequence, that's not a good idea, because then that means that student is that much further behind in his classwork, his homework, and his learning of skills. So that's why consequences on the campus are the best plan. And the consequences have to fit the infraction. They don't match up here. They're way out of whack. So they really need help in LAUSD with an education plan that includes a discipline management plan that is properly enforced district-wide in a similar way throughout all the schools in a fair and respectful manner.
And I also believe there has to be motivation. There has to be, you know, there's no reason. We learn as adults, positive reinforcement. And, you know, my school has a new positive enforcement policy. So kids that are good get little money. They can go buy things at the school, little store they set up. But the only kids who ever get those tickets are the kids who are usually bad who were good that day. But the kids that are really good all the time don't get recognized. So I think that even if you set up a positive approach, it has to be equity in it. It has to be across the board.
It has to be fair to everyone and not focus on pets. And the consequences and the plan has to develop positive behavior of a good school citizen rather than reinforcing, enlarging, and causing more truancy problems. Wow, this is really serious, and it really sounds like you're doing a good work attacking it head-on in the trenches. I know you are working very hard. I've had discussions with you over time, and I know it's a labor of love of kids and wanting others to succeed. Unfortunately, in California, kids today are not getting a quality education, and I feel for them. I worry for them. I worry for their future. What will they do? And will there be enough people around them to help them? Will the businesses make up the difference in educating them on the job? I don't know. With jobs going by the wayside, kids may even lose out on the opportunity of on-the-job training. And most of these kids are really going to have to start in low-level skilled jobs. Now, I heard last year or so that in El Camino Community College, they were going to stop the electricity class, teaching kids how to become an electrician. Now, you know, that just seems backwards. It's just like I said, it's upside down. Everything in this state is upside down. They do the exact wrong thing. It's dysfunction. It's dysfunction inbreeding dysfunction for failure. Instead, they need success breeding success to equal success. They need a totally reformation, restructure, total restructure of their whole education plan, their discipline plan, and the kind of environment they want for school. Now, it would take all of those probably in the district headquarters somewhere to be either retrained or shipped out. What do you think?
I think it's going to take bigger than that.
Bigger than that. Okay, well, what else other than that would it need? Help from outside?
I think that we're going to need help from outside. And I have to be honest with you, some of the most brilliant solutions to problems that I've solved in my community have come from the kids themselves. If you don't start the conversation and you don't listen to everybody's point of view, then when they make decisions, they're only making them what is the situation is in their own best interest. And that's the problem when you cut out parents and you cut out the voice of the people. You know, if they were a business and we were their customers, they would have been out of business a long time ago. But the district especially has really taken a turn over the last several years in looking as if it's just a real estate organization, that they're moving into a renter's program. You know, they're not educating children anymore. That's not the focus in their meetings, and that's what it really needs to go back to. It doesn't matter if you get rid of everybody if people don't vote for the right people to replace them. I guess that's what I meant by bigger than just getting rid of people.
Well, we are nearing the end of our show, so I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to do some kind of highlight capturing here of what you've spoken about, perhaps contact information, anything you'd like to say in the last 2 minutes here.
Okay, first of all I can say is, you know, thank you to everybody for listening. Obviously, you care about our kids or you wouldn't be listening. We can all do this. We can change anything we want to if we put our heads together. This country is founded on that attitude, and it's up to us to perpetuate and create a continuation of that attitude, that we together, working together as a united people, can make anything we can happen. And it's not only the future of our children that is at stake, but it's our own futures. Our schools affect our property values. They affect who the doctors are going to be in the future that we see. It's important that everybody become a part of the solution. No more blame game. It's time for everybody to step up, because that's the only way we are going to be saving our own and our children's future.
Well, thank you, Lydia Grant, so much for being with us tonight. If you want to contact Lydia, email her at 5grants. That's FIVEGRANTS at MSN.com. She's also on Facebook. Look for her group, Fed Up, on Facebook, and also look for the future website they're still building. It's something like unitingparents.wordpress.com. Perhaps Googling will bring it up later in the date. It's going to take us from all over the country, I believe, to focus on LAUSD, to keep explaining to them the changes they need to do, because they are affecting all of us in our state, all our kids, all our businesses, our economy, our community, our state, our total future of our country. And it's important that we all stand together, no matter what district these kids are in, that we can help. When we stand by and see a need, we need to help. So thank you so much for being with us tonight. We hope you'll be with us next month. We're going to be in December. Approaching Christmas, it'll be on December 7th. Oh, that's a famous holiday, December 7th, so maybe we'll have something related to that. Thank you so much for being on Linning School Watch et al. This is Diane Linning coming to you live from California, and we appreciate you listening tonight. Hope you'll be with us next time. If you want to email me, it's diane@linning.com. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Enjoy the music the last few minutes. God bless. God bless you. God bless your children. And God bless America. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. I love you, I love you, and I love your kids as much as you do. We want them all to get a good education. Good night, all. God bless you. Beethoven, for your great musical genius. That's Beethoven's work. I love that classical music. Good night. I love you. Look for you next month on Linning School Watch et al. This is Diane Linning saying good night.